This is the TSG Multimedia Podcast for August of 2022. We're sponsored this month by the TSG Train Crew on Patreon. Thank you very much. I'm John Abaticola, host of the longest-running train-related monthly podcast out there. We've been doing this every month since January of 2010. This program has evolved over the years into what it is now, a chance for me to connect with you so that you know what kind of content to expect in the coming months. You can find the audio version of this podcast on the first Saturday of every month on all the major podcast places like iTunes and Google Play. And you can find the video version on YouTube. I want to thank all our Patreon supporters who make what we do here possible and invite you to become a member of the TSG Train Crew on Patreon by visiting patreon.com/TSGMultimedia. Supporters get early access to all the features that come out on the YouTube channel, as well as behind-the-scenes info about what's happening with us here at TSG Multimedia. It's a lot of fun, and it helps us keep the lights on. The activities since our last podcast in July have created the longest podcast show I've ever released for this month, so let's just get straight to it. Oh, hi. It's still actually June, but we're doing something today. We're driving up to Carson City. They have something going on called the Great Western Steam Up. And it's a bunch of visiting steam engines that are visiting. And they're going to be taking trains around their little loop that they have at the museum in Carson City. So it should be fun. And I'm sure that we're going to make a video while we're up there. And yeah, let's go. Okay, so we've made it out to the Nevada State Railroad Museum. This is in Carson City. And it was a long drive, but our purpose here this weekend is to make a video about the event and hopefully get some of the crews that are working on the equipment that's here visiting to talk about their equipment that they have, that they brought from wherever it came from. So it should be interesting. And there's a bunch of people that I know that are going to be here. So it'll be a lot of what we refer to as seeing old friends and meeting new friends. So it should be good. It seems like a really cool event. They have all kinds of steam engines for this event, and I think they're all going to be fired up tomorrow. So just talking to the people that I know on this cruise, and seems like everyone's excited and should be a good day tomorrow. I'm sure I'll come back on here and let you know how it goes.
Hi, this is a morning, Friday morning at the, what's this called?
The Great Western Steam Up.
Great Western Steam Up. I didn't sleep well last night, so, but we're still going to have a good time today. And this is an example of you never know who you're going to run into. So we're standing in line to get in this place, and someone says, hey, you never know who you're going to run into. And it was this guy. You recognize him from Chasing Trains. What else have you been on? You've been on other stuff too, haven't you?
I think the first time was the Prototype Modelers Meet.
That's Barrier. Right. Barrier Prototype Modelers Meet from 2017, I think, or 2016.
One of those.
It's Mike. Mike just recently got Is it a permanent position?
So it's a seasonal position at the Railtown 1897 State Historic Park. So what I'm basically doing is I'm working as an interpretive park aide. So I manage the social media, volunteer coordination, and try to frame Railtown in a way that relates it to the current generation, you know, because I find the history fascinating, but the average person is so far removed from it that it's kind of, you know, like you have to relate it to these people in a way that they can understand. So that's basically what my job is.
And they got the right guy for the job. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
What are you looking forward to most here today?
A vacation. Just, you know, I think it's great to be able to see all these locomotives from all over the West, you know, all together in one place, not just the engines, but also the people too. Like you got Stavi Pappas here, Chris DeWitt, you know, who is in charge of the maintenance department at the Nevada State River Museum here. All these great, you know, like-minded people of preservation, all in one place. So it's just a, you know, I couldn't miss this.
Yeah. So, and we're here too.
Yeah.
Hey, this is another example of you never know who you'll run into. I kind of thought I might run into this guy. This is Dave Adams, my friend that you saw on last month's podcast about 8 times. And he's here today, and this is just a pretty cool event, Dave. What did you come up here for?
Well, I came up here for the Great Western Steam. I mean, this is, how can you turn down steam? I mean, last year you had the big event in Colorado, New Mexico.
Right.
Here you've got it here, and this is going to be the greatest assembly of V&T steam locomotives that's ever existed since since the railroad has come.
And other locomotives.
Yeah, we've got the Nevada County Narrow Gauge number 5 here.
Right, right.
We've got the Chicken, the Santa Cruz Portland Cement Company locomotive here. And they've got the Russellville Gardenville. There's 8 out in front on static display.
Yep. You got a picture of that?
Yeah, I got a picture of that. And I had the chance to ride behind it when I did a V&T special on the Sierra Railroad in the early 80s. So this is... This is coming. This is like homecoming. It's great.
He does everything. And the most important thing is it's a lot of this is narrow gauge.
Yeah.
Narrow gauge. Mr. Narrow Gauge.
Well, that's what I model. I model narrow gauge. Except for some SP standard gauge.
Any steam will do, but narrow gauge is a steam.
Yeah. Like right there.
Yes.
Behind the camera.
Slim Princess is coming up behind the camera. And look, I came all the way to Carson, Nevada just to harass John. It's always so much fun. You should be at the Great Steam Up.
We just finished up at the Nevada State Railroad Museum. I am completely fried, in case you can't tell from looking at this amazing hair and everything else. Probably sunburned. But we saw a lot of old friends, made some new friends, saw some really cool equipment here, steam engines and such. Got a bunch of the crew to talk about the stuff they brought, got a bunch of the attendees to talk about the event, and the video that's going to come from this event is going to be worth the terrible night of sleep I had last night. So it's all good in the end. And Paul's hiding in the background. There he is. Hi, Paul. Bye.
On the way home from the Great Western Steam Up, we came to Lodi, and to this place that I used to come when I was a kid. This is the first ever original A&W restaurant. You know A&W root beer? This is where it started. And this restaurant's kind of interesting because they have cases full of memorabilia from back in the day. If you look behind me over my left shoulder, you can see Rudy the Root Bear. That's a little plastic thing that kids can take their pictures with. Anytime I come through Lodi, if I have time, I stop in here just for nostalgia. What did you think about your first ever experience with the original first ever root beer, A&W?
I thought it was pretty interesting. It was good to hear your stories about this, John, and your memories and how much it means to you. And you know, I'm just here to eat, so the food was good.
They even served our root beer floats in glass mugs. How's that? When's the last time you went to a fast food place that did that for you?
Hi, so we're just back from the Great Western Steam Up yesterday. Drove back last night. If I look tired, it's because I am tired. One of the reasons why we came back was there's an operating session this morning up at Ray Turner's Mystic Mountain Garden Railroad. Ray Turner's Mystic Mountain Garden Railroad was actually originally built not for ops, but then it was sort of redesigned and added on to be for ops. And I haven't operated up there probably since before the pandemic started, if I remember right. So when Ray invited us to go, I thought, oh, haven't operated up there for a long time. We should probably do it. So that's where we're going today. I'll probably take some photos and some video up there of whatever job we end up doing. And here's our other operator. Oops. Not so secret anymore.
We had Ray on the live show recently, and we talked about his garden scale helix. Well, this is what it looks like.
All right, so we got our switch list from Ray, and my conductor's showing me what we need to do. We have to pick up a bunch of stuff here at South Providence Yard, which is just behind the clipboard, which you'll see in a minute. And we found that a bunch of these things are right here. And we also need to have a caboose. Well, there's a caboose over here conveniently, which I think is there to trick us into thinking we should use it. But there's another caboose right here. And we need to get the locomotive on the end of the train where that caboose is. So what we're going to do is we're going to pull our caboose out over there and then stick it on the end of this train and then back it onto a track in the yard. That's our locomotive. And then run around the whole thing and pick it up and depart this way. So this is the kind of the stuff that you have to think about when you're doing these operations. And this is just a great place to do operations because, as you can see, we have a great view. Everything's big, so it's easy to read the numbers. And everything runs really well. It operates really well here because Ray did a great job with laying his track plan out for ops. So this is going to be a really fun op session. We're going to get started. So we're about to do our runaround maneuver. I remembered, and I wanted to point out something else Ray has done here that's really smart, is you see how some of these ties have white paint on them? That indicates to the operators when the switch is not fouled anymore. That's your, I guess, fouling point. So anything from here to the left is going to put cars or other equipment in the way of other cars coming in on this switch here, on this little turnout. So the idea is you go past that if you're going to spot a car or something like that. I think it's a really good idea. And a lot of other scale layouts have similar setups where the switches are indicated where the fouling points are by a little piece of paint or something on the ties. So here's our locomotive running around the consist that we're going to be taking out of the yard here.
just like I mentioned before, we put the caboose on from the other track instead of taking it off of the track that the consist was already on. One of the nice things about this job in particular this time was that entire consist there was all put together on the siding. We didn't have to do a whole bunch of work to get ready. We just had to pull it out and stick the caboose on it. So I'm acting as a conductor. So I've lined all the switches. All these turnouts are aligned so that the engineer can get the locomotive moved to the right position to back onto that train. And then we're going to take off as soon as we have our train secured. And it's already fun.
So, our first work is at the Providence SPC IC, and we have to pick up 3 ore cars here and set out 1 other car. So, the way that works is we're going to cut off our caboose where that engine is, and we will use the rest of the train to pull out those 3. Then we'll back those 3 onto the caboose over here and cut off just in front of that little boxcar. It's actually a reefer. Sorry. No, that is a boxcar. We'll cut off just in front of that little boxcar there and then back that little coal car or whatever hopper onto the track to do our set out.
So because the caboose has to stay at the end of the train, we cut it off on the main line over there, and we're using the whole rest of the train to grab these 3 cars that we need to pick up. And what we'll do is we'll put those 3 cars in front of the caboose, and then we have to drop off this hopper into the interchange track. So our next work is to set out a couple of cars here on this team track. So we cut off the train just in front of the switch here, or behind the switch, I suppose. And these 2 cars are being set out here. We'll pick up our train after these 2 cars are set out. And we just do it. It's a process of doing this kind of stuff until you've done everything on the list. So we find this fun.
See, we're true professionals sitting here waiting.
These are professional operators on the Mystic Mountain.
Hey, who's driving that thing?
The cameraman. Don't worry, I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you guys doing here?
We have a meet with the guy who's working the camera.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so, we do? Oh, yeah, I better pay attention then.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
I'm turning the camera off to see where I'm going to collide with you.
Okay. It's a good day for this.
All right, well, we finished with our operating session. That was a lot of fun. And I don't know that Ray watches the podcast, but if you do, Ray, thanks for having us over again. Got a great tour of the property. Got some fruit off of his fruit trees and trains on top of all that. Wow, couldn't ask for more. But that was our adventure today. We're going to probably take a few days off from adventures right now, and we'll be back. The most recent podcast actually came out this morning. So this has kind of happened not within the last month, but since the last podcast was edited. That's how that works. So anyway,
that's it for now. Over and out. We originally had an epic trip planned for this summer. It was going to be chasing 4014 over Donner Pass and then up to Portland. Boy, was it exciting. Well, as you know what happened with 4014, it got canceled. So we're going to Sacramento anyway, and we're going to do some stuff around Sacramento that we originally had planned, and it should be fun. Alvin and Michelle are coming in on the Amtrak California Zephyr sometime later, and it'll be good, and I'm sure that we'll be documenting stuff along the way. So let's go have some fun.
This is at Gary's house now, and he has a little layout here in his garage. So he had an op session all ready to go. We have little switch lists we're going to work with, and this ought to be a lot of fun. I've operated here before and had a great time. So here we go. So on some layouts, the number of the siding or industry or whatever is marked right on the layout. Well, on Gary's, it's not. If you look up here, you can see there's nothing on this spur, right? Or this spur over here. Nothing to indicate what it is.
No, we don't.
Usually there would be a number somewhere in here telling you which spur that is. Well, on Gary's, it's right here on the diagram. So the spur we were just looking at is 303. Then the one that we looked at first, which is right over here, is 304. And then the one furthest to the right over here is 305 and 302. How do I know that? Because it says right here. And then those numbers correspond with what's on our switch list. See where it says from and to?
So here's James. You remember him from Silicon Valley Lines, right?
Yeah.
James, you're operating Gary's layout. What do you think? Is it pretty fun so far?
It's great. It's well laid out, and you know, I know where everything's at by just looking at it in like 2 seconds and starting to count the tracks.
It's almost really like nice. The guy who designed it worked for the railroad or something.
Pretty much, yeah.
Everything works really well.
Yeah.
This is kind of an overview of the whole layout. It's kind of a U shape. And then the main yard is just down there where Gary's working. And it takes up a fair amount of space in the garage, but sure is a lot of fun to work on. So what does the yard job do? He just unburies all the cars that are in the yard?
Assembles the train.
Assembles the train. And now once the train is ready, the yard power gets parked over here. And then this is our road power over here. These Jeeps. And now Gary's going to be the conductor for the other person behind there. That's going to be the engineer. See, so everybody operates here.
Okay. Well, laying it out.
So even though this isn't the biggest layout, Gary still manages to get pretty long trains in here. What is that, 15 cars? 20?
I think there's 13.
13 cars, yeah.
13, 14, 15, 16.
16?
That's the
I was right the first time.
I thought I had 13. Okay. But how many did I do?
Yeah, but were there 13 cars on your list?
No, that's the right number of cars.
So I've been waiting for a while, and this peddler train's finally brought the stuff. Gary's uncoupling it now. That's the stuff. That's the
take her back.
That's the second half of my job. What just got left on the siding here. So that's what I'll be working on next. Hi, we're doing something today. As I mentioned yesterday, we've driven up to the Sacramento area, greater Sacramento area, and we're going to go to a place called the Western Pacific Railroad Museum today. It's in a town called Portola. It's about a 2-hour drive or 3-hour drive, depending which route you take. And I'm not going to talk much about that on the podcast other than that it's something we're doing today.
And we're going to have a whole episode of Chasing Trains about these adventures. So just know that the Chasing Trains episodes coming up in the near future will have a lot more details of some of the things that I'm talking to you about on the podcast this month. So should be fun. Alvin and Michelle got into town last night on the Zephyr, kind of late. So they're probably going to be fried today. We'll see how all that goes. So we're here at the Western Pacific Museum in Portola. And behind me, you can see the stack train that we were just watching. And something interesting that I didn't think was going to happen is behind that train, further up the line, they're actually storing the one unit. That's that heritage. I'm going to call it a heritage unit. It's that special paint scheme from UP. So I'm really interested in getting a photo of that because I've never seen it before in person. And it's a really cool paint scheme.
My name's Ethan. As John mentioned, I'm a volunteer here with the Western Pacific Railroad Museum. I've been involved since I was 15, so that was 2007. I'm originally from the Sacramento area, but now I live up just up the hill here from the museum, and I'm basically a full-time volunteer and, you know, do whatever the museum needs. We need track work done. Well, here I am.
Yep.
You know, today I'm here with these guys to show them the museum and show Michelle how to run our SW1500, and we'll have some fun. Probably some other behind-the-scenes stuff since, you know, we're here before we're open to the public, so I can get you around and sneak you into the...
The cool stuff,
the
huh?
The cool stuff, yeah, because we keep most of it locked up, so that, you know, not that we don't like showing it off, but, you know.
But if you look right here, you can see he has the keys.
Yes, I have.
That's all the cool stuff keys, yeah.
One of the cool things about this Western Pacific Railroad Museum is this is a museum. If you look down this sort of corridor in between the tracks here, you can see how much equipment there is. This is just one in between the tracks segment. There's a ton of stuff here. A lot of it, if not most of it, is Western Pacific. So if you're a Western Pacific fan, and I know there's a lot of Western Pacific fans that watch this channel, this is a great place to come look. Even if you're not a Western Pacific fan, it's a great place to come look. We just got kind of a tour of a bunch of things here at the museum. And Ethan's been a great host so far. We're waiting because Michelle has an operate the locomotive thingy that she paid for. And she's so nice that she's going to actually let a couple of the others here operate on her time, which I think is really cool because I haven't operated a locomotive in probably 3 years now. And it's fun to do. If you've never had a chance to operate locomotives, this is a great place to come do it because you actually get to go a fair distance with it. And so we're just waiting. Ethan's going to bring the locomotive out of the yard up this track that's behind the camera. And I think he's going to park over here someplace where we will then, two of us will be able to get on. Only two people at a time can go into the cab. So I think we'll do whatever runs that is and then pick up someone else here and then come back and pick up the next person and so forth. And I'm planning to be on the locomotive probably most of that time so that I can document it for whoever's running. And it'll probably end up on the Chasing Trains video that we're working on as well. The other video that I'm working on here is the video about the Western Pacific Museum here. So there's a bunch of stuff happening and I'm working on a whole bunch of videos all at the same time. Chasing Trains, the tour video, and then the podcast, which we're filming for right now. So a very, very productive day here.
Engine brakes and train brakes.
Okay. We're only going to use this one, right?
Yeah.
And we've got...
Bell's there.
Okay.
Yep.
Got bell.
That's off. Pulled out.
Reverser.
Reverser. Throttle.
Watch. Okay.
Horn.
So we're just about wrapped up here at the Western Pacific Railroad Museum in Portola. Ethan, thank you very much for taking the time and for your hospitality. And just a reminder for everybody out there, come visit the museum and support what they're doing here. This is history. So thank you, sir.
You're welcome, John. Thank you for being here.
And thanks for being on the train crew.
You're welcome.
And everybody else, join the train crew.
Just something else that we did today. Came to Keddie Y to show Alvin and Michelle and Sid. They haven't been here before. Gary and I have both been here before at different times, but it's kind of sketchy. You can hear cars going by behind the camera. That's Highway 70. So it's pretty cool. This is the end of the day on our podcast broadcast.
So I can't get it.
And I wanted to just mention here that we had a great day. Went all the way to Portola. Came back down through the Feather River Canyon. Saw a BNSF train on the Y. What a great day. And I got all kinds of great footage for the podcast, which you've seen here now. And also got a lot of awesome footage for a video about the Western Pacific Railroad Museum. And also about, what would it be? I guess chasing trains. So it was a great day overall. And we're headed back to home base here. And we'll be back doing something again tomorrow. Today we're going to go to the California State Railroad Museum. Michelle hasn't been there, so it'll be the first time for her. Alvin has been there, and I believe James also has been there. In case I haven't mentioned it on the podcast here, James Brasil from the Silicon Valley Lines has been also traveling around with us looking at the cool things that we're doing. So it'll be interesting, and then later today we go back to the Bay Area and get set back up as our base from the TSGE Multimedia Intergalactic Headquarters. I'll probably do a little update here on the podcast later for you.
Who is that masked man?
Yeah, no, we've seen this guy here before. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Bye, John.
Hi.
Oh, are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, bye, John.
Hi.
Did you say bye or hi?
Hi.
I couldn't hear you with that mask on.
I know.
So long.
See ya.
This is the entrance to the magic of scale model railroading, the NMRA exhibit. So we just spent the last, I don't know, couple hours getting kind of a behind the scenes tour of the California State Railroad Museum. And you know, there's more here than I thought. And one of the things you'd like to see is this cab forward. That's something you can only see here. You can't see any cab forwards anywhere else because they don't exist.
Made it back home. The first part of the epic for 2022 is over. We had something like 3 days in Sacramento. The next 3 days are out here in the Bay Area. And should be fun. We'll check in with you tomorrow. Today's Saturday. And our agenda for the day is to go ride at Niles Canyon Railway. One of the things that I take people to usually when they're in town, if they're train people. So we'll ride that train today. After that, we're going to drive back towards San Jose by way of Santa Clara and stop in at the SBHRS. So should be a good day today. And I'll probably come back on with some updates later.
Hey there.
This is one of those things where you know who you're going to run into. I talked to Chris this morning. This is Chris Halp. He's been on, I think, a podcast before when we were documenting the 1744 restoration. And I told him, I embarrassed him and told him how great he was and how much I wanted to get him on an interview sometime. So we're here with Michelle, and I thought, oh, Chris is here. Why don't we talk and we can arrange a thing, and we'll have Chris on the plan is to have Chris on the live show in August.
In August.
So this is very relevant.
And I'm only getting to see one locomotive run today, so I want to see Chris's photos of all the things that run here at Niles Canyon. So I'm excited to learn more about it.
It'll be cool.
Very cool. Thank you,
I'm looking
Chris.
Forward to it.
Yeah, thanks.
The dude has a 250,000 pictures of Niles Canyon. And he's out here. You can see he has his camera.
This is how
I see Chris when we're up here, running around. Oh, and before I met him, like formally face to face, I'm like, oh, it's the guy with the camera again. Oh, it's the guy with the camera again. Oh, it's the guy with the camera.
If I'm not painting, I'm taking pictures.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, right? We didn't talk about that last time, but you also do the painting of the cars.
I do, but yeah, I do mostly a lot. Most of what I do here is painting and lettering.
You paint the 1-to-1.
Yeah, I do the 1-to-1 scale. Yeah. I'm miserable at anything smaller.
And I'm just miserable. Hey, this is one of those times when you're not sure you're going to run into someone, but you do anyway. This is Henry Baum, the current president of the Pacific Locomotive Association, who runs and operates the Niles Canyon Railway. And it's nice to run into you, Henry. What's going on with the Niles Canyon Railway these days?
Thank you. I'm glad to always have a chance to chat with you and get into your podcast.
Yeah.
Our biggest need right now is volunteers.
Yeah.
Right? It's very difficult coming back from COVID to get people to come out again. Everybody's a little gun shy, and we're looking for new people. We're honestly looking for younger people, right? Our average age of volunteers is in the 60s someplace, and we need to lower it. And, you know, bringing in volunteers, you know, at any age, we don't care how old you are, you know, but, you know, we need more people, and we want people who are going to come out and volunteer and stick around.
Sure. Being active is important.
We have a lot of fun out here. Our volunteers, they all talk about how much fun they have volunteering out here. So it's not like, you know, you're going to have a lot of serious issues and things like that. You know, we all get along. We all take care of each other. We watch out for each other, which really makes it wonderful for us. And our volunteers, you know, we always run into the people who say, well, I don't know anything about railroads and trains.
I was going to mention that, yeah.
I didn't know anything about them either. In fact, I grew up in Chicago, so I hate trains. Right?
Well, you hated trains.
I hated trains. Yeah, I have learned to appreciate them now, and you know, they're a lot more fun when they're your trains,
right?
Than when they're somebody else's trains blocking your traffic.
Yep.
So you know, it's very enjoyable to volunteer out here. What you don't know, we'll teach you.
Right.
Right? We will show you the right way to do it. A lot of these things, we've been doing it for 20 years and still learning that
right?
There's better ways to do it.
One of the things that I learned when we did a video down at the yard, I don't know, a couple of years ago, where Henry went around and showed us a bunch of the equipment there. You may remember that. And one of the things that I remember hearing you say there was some things you run into, you still don't know, and you learn together, which is also a great way to grow.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. We're figuring things out, how to repair some of this stuff. There's no books, right. You know. The people who knew are long gone. And so we have to figure this stuff out for ourselves, and we have a good time doing that.
Yep.
And honestly, we make mistakes, right? It's not the end of the world. These things are very hard to play. Yeah. You have to really screw up big time to do something, you know, that will damage the equipment. You know, it's more a matter of, are you happy with what you did?
Right.
And we run into a lot of, I'm doing it over.
So sometimes that makes for fun things to laugh about later, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, remember that time when you did that? Yeah. So it's ncry.org is the website. Definitely worth looking up. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are hesitant to volunteer because they're intimidated by the size of these things. But everybody that I've been involved with here over the past 20 years is easy to talk to, very approachable, very down to earth. And it makes for a lot of good times. And I know a lot of people that have volunteered here have become lifelong friends too.
Absolutely. You do make a lot of friendships. You like to get together and talk and reminisce.
Right.
It's part of it. So the longer you've been here, the more stories you have to tell.
Yep.
And the new people like to hear the stories.
Yep.
Which is great because we like to tell them.
Yeah.
But it's just, it becomes a labor of love, you know, too, that you can't wait to come out here to volunteer. It's really important.
Come ride the train, come volunteer. ncry.org.
And you can, you got two trains now.
I saw the M200, yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty exciting for us as well.
What he's talking about is the M200, which is the former skunk train. I guess it's a rail bus, right?
It's a rail bus.
Is running east out of Sinol today. We might catch a shot of that or catch a still of it or something to show people what it is. But, yeah.
Well, it's very cool. Turn around.
Yeah. Actually, why don't you just turn around and you can see it down there. All right. So that was a nice happenstance. Henry just invited us to go down and look at the Krauss Muffy. So Alvin and Michelle don't think I've ever seen that one. Might not even know what it is. James asked me if we might be able to see it. So this is going to be really cool. Let's go learn something new and have some fun.
This is a photo of the SP9010 as it was delivered to us from the California State Railroad Museum. The entire nose of this locomotive had been cut off. When they saved this one particular unit, they cut the nose off, built a plywood box, and would fill it with 35 millimeter film equipment. And then they would shove this locomotive all over the right-of-way and film the right-of-way for the first generation training simulators. They wanted something massive so it wouldn't rock as it went down the rails. So they pulled the front transmission out to give the guys who were running the cameras a place to work and change film and things like that. So that was gone. And then they cut the gearboxes out of the bogies or the trucks so they didn't have all that mechanism grinding away while they were shoving it around. That's why when we got it, we knew it would never run again, because those parts were gone and they weren't available. We rebuilt the nose. What was interesting too was people who had salvaged parts from these things when they were scrapped up in Sacramento started bringing the parts back. These two doors on this side of the nose are original doors from a different locomotive, but it was something somebody salvaged and they brought them back. So a lot of what you see here came out of people's basements and garages, of people who were excited about us restoring this thing. Like I said, we had no intention of it running until one of our members in England started doing some homework, and he found out that when they scrapped all of these, five sets of bogies were sent to Austria to a company called Placer, who makes railroad maintenance equipment. And they use those trucks in their ballast cleaning machines, which are block-long machines that move very slowly down the right-of-way, dig all the ballast out from under the track, clean it, put it back down. So they were very happy to have geared trucks that could move very, very slowly. He did more digging, and he found that one of those machines still existed. Got us in touch with the people who owned it. They said, well, we're scrapping it. We're getting a brand new one. So Well, can we buy the trucks? The guy said, sure. So when they scrapped it, we got a telegram, I think it was, that said, the ballast cleaner has been scrapped, but we saved you the trucks. So we were able to buy those, had them shipped over here. Took like 9 months to get here. You've heard of slow boat to China. Well, this was even slower because it stops at every port all the way, but went through the Panama Canal. They got here. We had to get 250-ton cranes to lift this thing up so we can put the gear, the one truck for the rear back underneath it, because the gearboxes are about this tall. So to slide the truck under, you got to get the locomotive that high up in the air. And then a gentleman from Germany showed up. He read about this in a model railroading magazine over there. And he said, hey, I'm in town. Can I come take a look at it? We arranged for him to come and look at it. And he says, this is really great. What do you need? And we said, well, what we don't have are the shafts. None of the drive shafts. We had one. It didn't fit anywhere, so. And he said, well, my company makes those drive shafts. Wow. And we have them in stock.
Wow.
They still use them. They're available. So he sold us the required drive shafts for the museum price, as he put it, and shipped them over here. We put them in, fired the engine up, and it moved.
Wow.
We couldn't even start it without the drive shafts because the starter's actually on the transmission. So you got to have the transmission coupled to the engine to do that. The engine, of course, is a Maybach. So those of you who are very, very rich know what a Maybach automobile is. Well, those people make these diesel engines up until 15 years ago, they were still making this engine. That's why parts are available for it. They were primarily used for powering the big ski lifts in Europe for pulling the cables. That's what they used them for. That's why they were still being used. So this of course, is our pride and joy. It's been a miracle locomotive, a miracle restoration, because we didn't expect.
What a success story. Yeah. It's,
you know, and we've heard from and gotten donations from people all over the world. And
a real community of people it took to put all this back together.
It's been incredible. Like I said, the turbochargers are those lumps over there against the wall. They are still have to be reworked and put back on. They're a little bigger than the turbocharger in your car. So
in case you don't remember, this is the frame for the 1744. The drivers are up in Sacramento getting worked on. In that ongoing series we have of the restoration of 1744. Pretty cool stuff.
So, we had a great day today. We went out to Niles Canyon and saw all kinds of stuff that I was not expecting to be able to show everybody. That was great. We're just going back to the house now and gonna hang out in the backyard and relax for a little while. And we have something else to do tomorrow, so.
We're gonna go to the Western Railway Museum. Alvin and Michelle are still visiting. And we're supposed to meet some friends out there. I think Gary's coming, because he lives actually not too far from that place. And I think some people from San Jose are going to meet us there as well. And our friend Eric is the executive director at that museum, so he'll probably have some interesting things lined up to show us. So it should be a lot of fun, and it should be informative. And the other cool thing is that Alvin and Michelle have never been there, so
they're going to see something new and different.
A lot of people like to say it was the very first engine to go over, but there's no actual record of that. It's just the only one to let survive. So when they did the 50-year celebration of the WP, it was the first engine to go over because that was the only one of that time left.
All right, so we came out to a place called Pantano. I've never been out this far on the Western Railway Museum's tracks. Really cool. I see a lot of wind turbines, and I guess there's a marsh over here. It's pretty cool.
So this is Comet, who came running at me out from under a bush the other week. I almost stepped on him because he came running so fast, meowing at me. But he was just a sweetheart right away. And the running joke is Eric now attracts cats orange after cats. Being orange cats, yeah. After making Dirt famous. I mean, I didn't attract Dirt to Nevada, but I did help him get DJ.
Yeah.
And now, lo and behold, an orange cat comes out of the blue and follows me. So we named him Comet after the name of the old SN train that used to run on the line here. The passenger train from San Francisco to Sacramento was the Comet, while the train going the other way was the Meteor. So if we get another cat, we already have a name set, but one at a time, one at a time.
Oh, just a quick update for the podcast here. We went to the Western Railway Museum, had a great time. Eric Bensis showed us around. Gave us the VIP tour. We got to ride the train out to basically the end of their line, rode it back. Great time. I haven't ridden a train out there in a long time. And then we ate some lunch together and came back into the Bay Area proper. And on our way back, we're just stopping in here at Jack Burgess's layout. They're now getting the VIP tour of Jack's layout, which is really cool because Michelle's never seen it before.
I like this white wall right here that's off camera.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're going to see it.
The white wall is supposed to look like the outside of a station with the tongue and groove siding. That's the original ever Merced Falls station sign. On the channel, there's a whole series of model railroading with Jack Burgess. And one of the episodes that's coming up, I don't think it has released quite yet, I think it'll be out in August, is about the artifacts in this room.
Today we're going to Roaring Camp. So, should be fun. We're going to ride the beach train and the narrow gauge train. So, should be a great time. And great place, great fun. It's my friend Murph's birthday today, so happy birthday, Murph. You're gonna see him. I haven't seen him in a little while. Well, I saw him at the operating session last week, but we don't get to hang around that much together. So I'm looking forward to that. James will be there, and I believe also Kevin Hill's gonna be there. It's always a good time when he's around, so looking forward to today a lot. I've been looking forward to it for a few days.
Western United States.
So we finished up at Roaring Camp, and we're doing something that I wasn't sure that we'd be doing today, but here we are now at the Fern Creek and Western Garden Railroad.
And we're going to go in and talk to Paul and Eric. And I think Paul said they have some trains running here today. So we'll see what happens.
Uh-oh. We're on the ground. Oh, it rerailed. That was lucky.
Well, hello there. It's Tuesday, the 12th of July, and I just got back a little while ago from taking Alvin to the airport, and I wanted to do a little podcast update. Finally, the epic event of the summer, if you want to call it that, is over, right? So Michelle and Alvin came out from out of state, and we went to several different places over a bunch of days. I think it was 5 or 6 days in total, and just had a great time. And I can't stress enough how hospitable and gracious all the people at all the places that we went to were. It was just a great time. And I want to thank everybody that I arranged things ahead of time with. I can't list everyone here. It's just too many. And just to know that our guests were really happy and had a great time. So thank you all for that. I really enjoy sharing this kind of thing with people. And a lot of the people that met each other over the course of the past 5 days needed to be in contact. And it's one of the things I've realized over the past few years of doing this channel and meeting all the people that I meet and making all the contacts that I make. I really enjoy putting people together that can help each other or learn from each other or share best practices or that kind of thing. That's something that I get a lot of enjoyment from. So anyway, it was just a great time. I don't want to take up too much time here on the podcast talking about it. We're going to have a bunch of Chasing Trains episodes that cover all of these events, except for, I think there was one day we didn't do a Chasing Trains because there wasn't enough going on to justify that. And I like to put out videos that make sense, you know. Going to the California State Railroad Museum, I don't think really justified its own Chasing Trains video because we didn't chase any trains that day. We just kind of looked at trains. It was a great time, though. So, but anyway, so my point to all that is that the Chasing Trains videos will share a little bit more depth of what we did and what we saw. So be on the lookout for those in the coming months. And thanks to Michelle and Alvin and Gary and Mike and James and just so many people, Murph and Kevin and Trevor for helping set up the thing at Roaring Camp. It was just a great time. The guys at SBHRS, Ed and John and Mike and Robin, and geez, the list goes on and on. It was a great time, and thank you all so much for making it happen. I said I wasn't going to mention everybody because the list is too long. I need to mention Eric at the Western Railway Museum too. Just long list, too many to mention. Probably forgot someone in that short list I just did. Sorry about that. You know who you are, and thank you all very much for making the visit of Alvin and Michelle as enjoyable as it was, really, for all of us. So I'll come back when there's something else to report on the podcast.
Oh, doing something kind of train related today. I am down here at Silicon Valley Lines, and you recognize this guy. That's James again. And what are you doing here today, James?
Getting ready for the open house tomorrow. Tomorrow, our virtual open house from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
This is coming out later, so.
Yep, by the time this comes out, it'll be a couple weeks ago.
Yep, but if you want to watch it, it'll be up on our YouTube channel or whatnot, so you can see if you want to stick around next time.
Yeah,
I don't know what we're gonna do our next time
for the next open house too, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
you do them all the time.
Yep. And we're doing these virtual again because we're still dealing with this county,
and we're going like this,
right? You can tell I have my mask on too.
Yep.
I look better behind the camera, but in case I end up in front of the camera, I look better with the mask on anyway. So, but yeah, this is the virtual open house where people do virtual ops. Yeah. And I don't know, I've done it and I thought it was pretty fun. So
yeah,
a lot of people haven't done that kind of thing, are not able to do that kind of thing. So I still think it's cool that you guys are maintaining the virtuality of it.
Yeah, we didn't plan to get rid of it when things kind of started going back to normal, and then now they're kind of going back the other way, so we're still prepared to do it.
Yep, it's good. I think virtual stuff needs to be here to stay.
Yep, because you can include everybody. If one of our members can't make it down, you know, they can run remotely from wherever the heck they are in the world. If they're in Hawaii on vacation, or, you know, we have members who are 6,000 miles away or whatever.
Sure.
They can join in.
Although I got to say, James, if they're on Hawaii on vacation, well, I don't know. I mean, if I were in Hawaii on vacation, I wouldn't be calling in to do virtual ops. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Well, yeah, there is some train stuff to see over there, so they could be doing that instead.
It's always about the trains, isn't it?
Pretty much.
All right.
All right.
A couple months ago, maybe a few months ago, I asked Jack Burgess if he could maybe fit me into one of his op sessions in the coming months. And he said, sure. Then he got back to me not long after that, saying, hey, I'll run some special op sessions. You can invite people. So I went to my TSG train crew list and invited people that I knew are interested in operations. And we have our first of these op sessions today. So that's what we're going to do. I'm headed over right now, or we are headed over right now to pick up Dave Adams, or to meet Dave Adams. And we're going to go up and meet John Wiley and our other friend, Robin Gilstrom from the SBHRS, and have a nice operating session on the Yosemite Valley Railroad today. Thanks very much, Jack. And I may do a little update after the session, or maybe something during the session. We'll see. But let's go have some fun.
So we're here at the layout starting the op session. I'm running a job that's called the Rock Train. It's number 11 on the trip down, and I think it turns into number 12 on the trip back up. And the train starts up here in El Partal, and I've picked up my caboose and I'm ready to depart. But if you look on here, this is our fast clock. Can you see this? It's actually 6:50 or 6:51, something like that. And if you look on my timetable, I'm not supposed to leave until 8:10. So I'm just waiting over here just inside the yard limits until the fast clock tells me 8:10, at which point I will proceed with my trip down the hill. And the timetable also gives me other information about when I should arrive at places, when I should depart places. There are certain times in bold at certain stations on the line where there's a meet that's supposed to take place. And because the railroad was direction, they use direction superiority, and westbound trains, which mine is on the way down, is an inferior train. So I have to take the siding anytime I'm coming up to a meet like this. So those are kind of the base rules that I have to work with here. And hopefully when I do these little clips on the podcast like this, it'll give you an idea of how operations work. And that's what this is for.
Hi, I'm back, and just with a little wrap-up from the day, sitting here in my backyard now, and I have to say that everybody had a good time operating on the YV, and it was really fun to finally get to operate on the layout that I've filmed so much at, and I have to say that Jack's jobs are very interesting. They're fun. I can tell that he put a lot of thought into his operating scheme. It's not terribly complicated,
but it's enough of a challenge to make you think and keep you on your feet and keep you busy for 2.5 hours. So that part was great. And I don't know, Jack, if you actually watch these shows, but if you do, thanks for having us over once again. And hope that everybody had a good time. And I also hope we get to do this again sometime soon. I'd like to try some of the other jobs. So that's it for today. Over and out.
On July 20th, we went live with the monthly episode of Talking Trains. Talking Trains is a show that I do live with Michelle Kempema on the third Wednesday of every month. You probably also know Michelle as the executive director of the Colorado Model Railroad Museum in Greeley, Colorado. We talk about anything and everything having to do with trains on the show, and we usually have very interesting guests on the show with us. If you miss us when we're live, you can always catch us on a replay. In July's episode, we talked to our friend Al Hovey from New Mexico about youth in model railroading, and then spent the remainder of the show talking about the recent trip that Michelle and our mutual friend Shakalaka Bro Alvin Gilbert from Salt Lake City made out to California for an epic train adventure.
Hey, we're doing something today, so I thought I'd come on the podcast and talk about it. So today, we're at Jim Providenza's house, and we're going to do an operating session with someone from the Pacific Northwest named Jacob Wright. Jacob, I think, is 13 years old now, and I first met him on our virtual events that we were doing last year. So this is the first time we're getting to meet him in person. Should be fun.
Hi, I'm really just the engineer, but the conductor could tell you what we've been doing over here.
So we picked up our cut of cars from Fallon and brought them all the way up to Barrelding Lumber here in Laurel. Just dropped off our full cut of cars, picked up our loaded, and now we're just waiting for clearance to head back down the mountain.
Okay. Look, you just got roped into a job. What is it?
Suntan. Suntan special.
All right. Should be pretty easy. That's a passenger train that's going to have priority.
Should be easy.
Should be. But with all the traffic on this railroad today, it might not be as easy as it sounds.
Great op session. Thanks, Jim. And thanks, everybody who was there. I was really impressed with how many people are able to operate that layout on at one time. I think we had 18 or 20 people there. It was amazing to me that that many people even fit into the space, let alone were able to, everybody was able to run something at the same time. Pretty cool. So anyway, we'll see you tomorrow.
So we're here at Seth Newman's layout today, and Jacob and his dad came over to do some operations on Seth's layout, which is pretty cool. And one of the things that I wanted to highlight this event, not specifically today, but yesterday and today, and then also tomorrow, which you'll see when we do it. The only reason why we know Jacob is because he attended the virtual NMRA convention last summer that we held. And the reason I think that's important is because if we didn't have a virtual convention at all, we wouldn't even know him. And he's getting to have some great experiences here operating on people's layouts and hanging out and getting into ops. So it's kind of an emphasis on why virtual events are so important, really to us personally, but also to the hobby as a whole. Because like I said, if we didn't have these virtual events, we wouldn't even know him. And one of the things that we always talk about in the hobby is how we need to get more kids involved. Well, there you have it. Virtual events. You meet people where they exist, and a lot of young people are in that social media, or what do you call it? I guess electronic communication sphere, if that makes any sense. So that's one of the reasons why this whole few days here, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, are so important, because it emphasizes that. It might seem obvious to some people, but I think it's worth mentioning out loud for everybody else.
Hey, Seth, who's the youngest person you've ever had operate here?
Dave Falkenberg's son, John, was, I think, 8 or 9. And He actually ran this job with his dad with very little help at my 60th birthday, so that's a while back.
About 40 years ago?
Yeah, you know, maybe 50. And my cousin's kid, who was 5 with a little help from his dad who had to hold him up, did a reasonably good job of the Mission Bay local when he was 5 or 6. I don't know, his bar mitzvah is like 3 weeks from now, so time flies.
And so this is a way that other guys are trying to decide, can I go, is this guy alive, do you think it's supposed to be or not? So this is a help to other crews going on duty in that as to whether or not.
1 minute ahead of schedule, beat that answer.
All right, we're leaving Dave Adams' house now, and we had kind of an abbreviated op session here with just 5 operators plus Dave as the dispatcher. That was a lot of fun, and I can see where once someone learns sort of the procedures and the ins and outs of a certain job or of whatever jobs they're doing, it would be easier to understand. But that was a lot of fun, and thanks, Dave, for having us over, and we have to go home and get up kind of early again tomorrow because we're going to go do another operating session tomorrow morning. So I'm sure we'll talk to you about that then.
Hi, it's Saturday morning, and we're doing something today once again. We're at Jack Burgess's place to do an op session on the Yosemite Valley Railroad. And we actually had 2 people have to drop off of this session because of COVID. So it's not over yet, folks. So luckily, though, there were 2 other people who could fill in. That's right. I wasn't signed up for today, but and neither was top secret operator. But now we are, so we're going to operate on the YV. Should be fun.
So this is my job here today. I'm running the log train. And the log train has just picked up some empties at Merced Falls. And I have to take these up to incline, pick up some loads, and then bring the loads back down. It's all very orderly.
All right, so we finished up at Jack's and have now met Jacob and Buddy out in Pinole. Do some foaming.
Well, I'm down here in the beautiful Bay Area because mainly because of virtual NMRA clinics. It's really helped me connect with a lot of people from a lot of different places. I mean, this morning I was talking to some guys from Australia on a Zoom meeting, and so it's really, I feel like it's really brought together a lot of the model railroading community so that we can better share ideas and better connect with other like-minded modelers all around the world. And so I've gone to multiple model train layouts while I'm down here, and I honestly could never have done it if it weren't for the people I had met on these virtual conventions. So that I think that they're an amazing thing, and I think that the NMRA should work and invest in them a lot more, because I live in a pretty remote area of Washington State, and so it takes me a long time to get anywhere, and I certainly wouldn't be able to go to any events, really, by the NMRA if it wasn't for their online formats. So I can't emphasize enough how much I think that it's truly an important part of our hobby's future.
Hi, we're doing something today. If you look over my right shoulder here, you can see the steam locomotive that was delivered recently to the SPCRR at Ardenwood Historic Farm. Well, today they're going to be commemorating the completion of the loop that's also over my right shoulder. That's all new track right there. They completed something like a quarter mile or a half mile loop. I don't remember the exact distance, but it's going to add something like 20 minutes to their round trip from the front of the park here. So we're here to document their Golden Spike ceremony, and that'll be on a video coming to the channel sometime in the near future. So it's pretty exciting, and we're really happy to be here. Even though I look better with it, I wanted to take my mask off just so that you could hear me. But this is one of those incidents where you kind of know who you're going to run into, but you're not sure. Hi, Dave.
Hi, John. How are you doing?
Welcome back to the podcast yet again.
Well, it's great to be here.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm out here at Ardenwood to celebrate the completion of their track extension.
Right? I just talked about that a minute ago on the podcast.
Oh, good.
Do you remember offhand how long the extension is? Is it a quarter mile or half a mile?
I don't know.
I don't remember, and he doesn't know either, so I don't feel so bad. All right. Well, we'll maybe come back on here to update if something else more exciting happens.
All right.
So we're just wrapping up here at Ardenwood, and I have to say there are two big takeaways for me here today. One is this new extension of track, making the ride much longer than it ever has been before, is a huge draw. And the second really important thing that's happening here is that they now have a steam engine that's going to be operating at some point in the future. And having a longer ride and having steam here are two huge deals. And I think if you have a chance to get out here to Ardenwood, you ought to come out and see what they're doing. If you have a chance to volunteer here at Ardenwood, you should come out here and see what they're doing, because there are some really exciting things happening here and things that are going to make this a real destination for people. So that's it from Ardenwood, signing off.
So, as you can tell, if you're still watching at this point, July was the busiest month we've had around here in a long time. Maybe even the busiest ever. And with that, we come to the catch of the month. Ethan Doty sends in this photo. It's a Western Pacific boxcar being delivered to the Western Pacific Railroad Museum in Portola, California, in June of this year. And this shot comes from Nick LaRusso, who caught the Union Pacific 1 unit, number 1979, on July 20th, south of Madera, California, just off Highway 99. If you have a catch of the month that you'd like to share, please send it to podcast@tsgmultimedia.com. Be sure you own the shot and include the what's, when's, and where's of the shots you send in. And now for this month's program schedule. On August 12th, that's next Friday, we have a product spotlight. On August 13th, it's the Great Western Steam Up. On August 17th at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, it's TSG Live Talking Trains. On the 19th, we have an episode of N-Scale Friday. On August 20th, it's the Pacific Coast Railroad at Santa Margarita Ranch. Then on the 26th, we have another product spotlight. And finally, on the 27th, it's Model Railroading with Jack Burgess. That's just about all I have for you now. But before I go, I'd like to ask you to please consider joining the TSG Train Crew on Patreon. It's as cheap as 7 cents a day. It gets you sneak peeks of upcoming features without any ads, and it helps us keep the lights on around here. It's at patreon.com/TSG Multimedia. Okay, now it's time to close the book on the longest TSG Multimedia podcast ever. I'll see you next time.